This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Crazy, psycho, schizo, nutso, insane, loony, cuckoo, wacko. These are all words that keep the stigma of mental illness alive. This stigma is usually why people with a mental illness refuse treatment. Mental illness is a scary word, and at the top of the list is schizophrenia. Hollywood, media, and novelists do little to dispel the myths of mental illness. There is big money in promoting fear of people with mental illness. This could be dealt with, but still not as much money goes into mental health research as illnesses such as AIDS and cancer. Schizophrenia is a chemical imbalance in the brain. The general public is still afraid to talk about schizophrenia, even though it affects 1 in 100 people in the world, affecting young men and women alike. It has nothing to do with split or multiple personality. It is an illness caused by a chemical imbalance of dopamine in the brain that affects thinking and behavior.
That was audio from a YouTube video called My Story Dealing with Schizophrenia. It was created by a group of Canadian youth working together with the program Mind Your Mind in London, Ontario. The video has been viewed almost 700,000 times online since it was first posted. Mind Your Mind is a mental health program working with youth to develop resources and coping tools that help manage stress, crisis situations, and mental health-related problems. Its resources are designed to reduce the stigma of mental illness and create and increase access and use of both professional and peer-based community support.
I attended a presentation about the work of Mind Your Mind while I was at the 14th Canadian Collaborative Mental Health Care Conference in June 2013, and I recently spoke again with Eugenia Canas, one of the coordinators with Mind Your Mind. Here's that interview. Eugenia, your organization co-creates resources with young people, clinical practitioners, and teachers. Tell us more about Mind Your Mind.
Hello, Kevin. Mind Your Mind is a national youth engagement program, which means that we create partnerships with young people all across Canada, some of them face-to-face and some through online conversation. And together, we make tools, resources, and information about mental health. And these aim to lower stigma and to sometimes help young people to see a friend through a tough time by either sharing stories or sharing games, tools, and resources with each other.
Your focus is, as you mentioned, on anti-stigma work, and you describe this also as knowledge translation. Tell us more about the actual work that is done there.
Well, at its foundation, Mind Your Mind was created because we saw a high incidence of young people at the emergency room. And we wanted to know what would be a sort of earlier upstream way of supporting them. You know, why was it that they were at the emergency room? They weren't seeking out counselors or therapists or family doctors earlier on when they were at a lesser level of distress. And when we found out when we talked with youth was that what was keeping them from reaching out was at the very core stigma, a fear of finding out, you know, what was going on, but also issues to do with language and with the vocabulary and the ways of speaking with clinicians. So not having the words to reach out became one of the things that we wanted to resolve. So we empower young people with ways of speaking about what's going on in terms of mental challenges, mental health challenges, and well-being and ways of staying healthy mentally.
So Mind Your Mind has been, and this is in your own words as well, very loyal to giving young people that voice. Why is it so important to actually giving them a voice? Where does Mind Your Mind fit in the landscape of services and initiatives over the past, let's say, few years?
I think we fit in a really hopeful space, in a very positive area, where I think we all of us come to work every morning because we really believe that young people have the inner resources and capacities to help themselves and each other. And that is really what drives us to giving them a voice. When you let young people speak and share their stories, you realize how empowering it is to others. Infinitely more empowering than, let's just say, a medical system or service providers speaking to the youth. It's so much better to have the conversation and to have young people speak back and come up with the areas where they think systems can improve and help can be better.
Eugenia, tell us about the video project, which began in 2004, and it culminated in the production of a video which was posted at YouTube.
Yes, this video is probably one of the cornerstones of Mind Your Mind creation. And, you know, I should clarify that we have co-created videos ever since. There is a lot of videos, a lot of interviews, and a lot of shared lived experience on mindyourmind.ca. However, this particular video is very important to us because it typifies the kinds of learnings that you can have when you co-create with youth. So the story is that we had a group of young people in 2004, and they were called the Youth Ambassadors. And they were hired to create content for the, at the time, nascent MindYourMind.ca. And as a group of young people, they wanted to focus on what it was like to encounter a mental health challenge. One of the members of the group, a young woman, had grappled with schizophrenia her whole life. And she was ready at that time to share that story. So together they created a small video. I think it's about 6 minutes. And they wrote the script. They filmed it. They edited it. She acted in it. And it's her voice that you hear. And this little piece of film went onto YouTube without any marketing dollars behind it whatsoever. It reached a very, very broad audience, and I think it gives you a sense of how a shared story like that can travel. So today, it's had 686,000 views and 1,400 comments and 95 dislikes over 1,600 likes. So a lot of attention in an unmoderated space.
Why was it so effective to use a video? Tell us about the use of visual information.
Well, visual information is not only very compelling when you pair it with music, with sound, and with various images, but it also, I think, appeals to different learning styles and to different ways of processing information. When you think about a video talking about schizophrenia and the possible audiences for it, you come to realize how much of our culture now and how many young people get their information through visual methods, specifically doing the use of YouTube. We can now qualify YouTube as a search engine for young people. They will go to YouTube to look for information after they'll go to Google. So I think it's a very meaningful space if you want to find information about your experience or the experience of a friend.
At your presentation in Montreal, you talked about a study by Eisenach in 2008 in which you said that personal stories enhance digital credibility and trustworthiness. Tell us a little more about the importance of personal stories.
I think you're touching upon one of my favorite quotes in recent research. Eisenbach has looked at what young people do in terms of seeking out health information, and he and his team are really showing the value of personal stories and lived experience as being more meaningful and more relevant to young people. And some of the reasons behind that is because, you know, young in our species, we tend to trust each other, we tend to seek out connection and to validate our own feelings through sharing them with others. Another important aspect of that is that searching out health information on the internet may be a very, very tall order, right? You don't know exactly what's coming from where, and some sources are validated, others are not. Some sources are impenetrable in their language. So if you can happen to run across a peer that tells you their story in a courageous, empathetic way, you're very likely to open your eyes and ears and really want to hear what they're saying. And I think Mind Your Mind is a testament to that through all the shared lived experience that young people have contributed to the site.
You also said that youth are seeking formal and informal information sources and that it's important to recognize that.
Absolutely, it's important. I think it's a sign of our time and place. I think that we live in an information age where young people are very self-motivated to find information. And if you have a question, you don't really look for sources of authority. You don't go to other institutions or grown-ups. You actually Google and go online and find out the answers that you're seeking for.
You've said that the youth ambassadors that were involved in that video project, that whole youth ambassador concept has now changed into a street team approach. Tell us more about what has happened since that video was created.
Well, Kevin, the street team model has been operating here at Mind Your Mind for several years now, and it's probably our most common form of engagement. We meet with young people here in London, Ontario, at our offices, and it's fairly project-based, which means that for a period of about 6 months, young people will come into the office to discuss, create, or challenge whatever new materials they consider important for their peers. So there's youth involvement face-to-face through street teams, and there's also lots of online involvement for folks who are not in London, Ontario. So perhaps for your listeners and young people in the west side of Canada who want to be involved, the ways to approach this kind of engagement would be to contribute to the conversations that are happening in their social media spaces, or to email mindyourmind.ca directly with their contributions, stories they may want to share, or issues they may want to raise up.
Now, in terms of Clea herself, she's the individual whose story was told in that video that garnered so many hits and so many positive comments. What has happened with her in terms of this work in the last number of years?
I think Clea typifies a youth contributor whose life was maybe positively impacted through sharing her story. I think that it was a hugely courageous step and a very generous step on her part to share what it was like for her to live with schizophrenia. And we were very lucky and privileged to keep in touch with Clea. She wrote to us, and we were able to publish her writings on mindyourmind.ca 7 years later after creating the video. And I think that her message continues, and if I may, I'm just going to read you a little bit of her message with your permission out there, Clea. She wanted to say thank you for taking the time to watch my video. I hope it helps you see me as the person I am, a strong, brave, beautiful person, even stronger today than when she made the video. I think that's very much the tone of somebody who was empowered through sharing her story and who recognizes that sharing your story in the right conditions, in a supportive space, can also give others permission to talk about what they're going through.
Eugenia, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. I think that this is a great opportunity to talk about what it means. Every conversation we have about mental health and mental well-being gives everybody else permission to talk about it, and it fights stigma in a very effective way. So I just want to thank you for the opportunity.
Eugenia Canis is a coordinator with Mind Your Mind. You can find the group online at mindyourmind.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.